This is Scale to Fit, fitting your 50s. Restarting exercising and feeling like a rookie at the age of over 50. With Marco Lindgren.
I had been actively walking maybe a year when I first met some serious road bicyclists and talked with them about bikes and shoes and clothes and brands you were supposed to wear and those you definitely were not. The brakes, the wheels, the tires, and so on. Based on those discussions, I thought I would never go biking. I would just enjoy my walking. However, the discussions left an itch, and so I went to a bike shop to have a look around. Unfortunately, in the first shop, nobody was interested in selling me anything, so I left. But the itch remained. And a while later, I ended up in a brand store, and voila! It was a busy day, a lot of customers, but somehow I ended up taking a bike out for a test ride. And it was marvelous. Riding the carbon frame gravel bike was just incredible compared to my old steel frame hybrid bike from about 20 years before. So, today we are talking about something near and dear to my heart, making the leap from being a dedicated walker only to exploring the streets, the woods, and the world on two wheels. Specifically, gravel biking for those of us who have gained some experience and aren't afraid to gain some more. If you have been pounding the pavement for long enough and are looking for your next adventure, or maybe your knees are whispering, hey, let's try something different, this episode is for you. We are diving into everything you need to know about transitioning from walking to gravel biking in your 50s. And also, with biking applies what I like to say, don't do nothing, do something and scale it back. So, why gravel? For walking, I was staying in the same area, about 5 to 10 kilometer radius from home. Apart from occasional hiking trips to further away places, I knew every crack in the sidewalk, every hill in the vicinity, not that there are so many. And the thought of being able to reach further felt quite good. At the same time, I didn't feel I belonged to the road biking scene with speed and branded tight lycra. My tight lycra is of a lesser brand. My scene is around the same places as my walking, beautiful back roads and trails where no cars or road bikes can reach. In effect, gravel biking is like the adventurous cousin of walking, who went to college and came back with stories. You get that same meditative rhythmic movement, that connection with nature, but suddenly your 3 kilometer radius becomes a 30 kilometer radius. You might be thinking, am I too old to start biking? Here's what I love about being a grown-up and starting something new. You have wisdom, patience, and honestly, probably better judgment than you did in your 20s. If you have been walking, you already have a solid aerobic base, leg strength and endurance, balance and coordination, an appreciation for being outdoors, and the habit of regular exercise. You are not starting from zero. You are upgrading your existing fitness foundation. Plus, at our age, we are not trying to prove anything to anyone. We can take our time, enjoy the process, and not feel pressure to keep up with the road bike lycra crowd.
Yes!
And as always, when you are considering a significant change in your exercise routine, a chat with your doctor is never a bad idea. This is especially true if you have any history of heart issues, joint problems, or balance concerns. That's it. Cycling is generally easier on your joints than walking or running. The bike supports your body weight, reducing impact on your knees, hips, and back. Many people with arthritis or joint pain actually find cycling more comfortable than walking long distances.
The good to know corner.
How does cycling really stack up against walking? There's actually quite a bit these two activities have in common. Both walking and cycling are aerobic exercises. They get your heart pumping. Both are pretty gentle on your body compared to, say, running or doing burpees. And both are fantastic for your health. We are talking about better heart health, lower blood pressure, reduced risk of diabetes and heart disease, better mood thanks to those feel-good endorphins, and honestly, they both just help you live longer. Plus, if you are thinking about the environment, choosing to walk or bike instead of driving is a win-win. But here's where things get interesting and different. So, about calories. Cycling generally burns more calories per hour than walking, sometimes significantly more. As an example, if you weigh around 85 kilos and you're cycling at a decent pace, let's say about 20 kilometers an hour, you're burning roughly 690 calories in an hour. Compare that to a brisk walk at 6.5 kilometers per hour and you are looking at about half of it, so 345 calories. The key here is brisk, not power walking on the brink of running. If you hop on a bike, it's pretty easy to increase the intensity just by pedaling a bit faster or going over some hills. When you are walking, you are mainly working your legs, your thighs, your calves, your glutes, your hip flexors. Your core gets involved too, especially if you are walking on uneven ground or really picking up the pace. But cycling, it's like a complete lower body party. Your quads, that's the front of your thighs, are doing most of the heavy lifting when you push down on the pedals. Your hamstrings in the back of your leg kick in when you're pulling up. Your glutes are powering you through, especially when you hit a hill or really want to pick up speed. Here's what surprised me when I first started cycling seriously. Your core gets a real workout too. You are constantly stabilizing yourself, keeping good posture, and if you are riding for a while, you will definitely feel it in your abs the next day. Even your upper body gets involved more than you would think. Your shoulders, your back, even your arms are working to keep you steady and control the bike. Now this is huge, especially for those of us in our 50s. Walking is what they call weight-bearing exercise, which is actually great for your bones. It helps keep them strong and can prevent osteoporosis down the road. But if your knees are creaky, your hips are complaining, or you are dealing with arthritis, walking might not always be comfortable. That's where cycling really shines. When you are riding a bike, the bike supports your body weight. Your joints don't need to take that constant impact. That's why many physical therapists recommend cycling for people recovering from injuries or dealing with joint pain. You can get a great workout without your knees revolting the next day. And then about convenience. Walking wins hands down here. You need decent shoes and that's it. You can walk out your front door and boom, you are exercising. Bad weather, walk in a mall. No time, park further away and walk. It's incredibly flexible. Cycling requires a bit more planning. You need your bike, your helmet, and you need to think about where you are going to ride safely. Weather becomes more of a factor. At least I enjoy riding when the sun is shining and the temperature is well above 20 degrees Celsius. The flip side is you can cover way more ground on a bike. That 45-minute walk around your neighborhood, you could probably see three different neighborhoods at the same time on a bike. But of course, you won't get the same number of steps if you're counting. Walking and biking are pretty safe, but they each have their own risks to watch out for. With walking, you are mainly dealing with overuse stuff. Maybe some foot pain if you go too far, too fast, or the occasional stumble. Cycling has a few more variables. Yes, there's a possibility of falls or accidents, but honestly, most cycling injuries are the same overuse issues you might get from walking. Knee pain, back pain, usually from having your bike set up wrong or doing too much too soon. What I love most about walking is that it's accessible to almost everyone. It's great for your bones, it's meditative. There's something really peaceful about a good walk, and you can literally do it anywhere. What I love about cycling is that you can burn more calories in less time, it's easier on your joints, it builds more strength, especially in your legs and core, and you can really crank up the intensity if you want a challenging workout. Plus, you can actually use it to get places, which walking sometimes can't practically do. The real truth is both walking and cycling will reduce your risk of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even some cancers. Both will improve your mood and help you manage your weight. Both will help you live longer and feel better. The best exercise is the one you will actually do consistently. If you love walking and are committed to it, that's great. If you're curious about cycling and think you might enjoy covering more ground and mixing things up, that's great too. And honestly, why choose just one? Maybe walk during the week for convenience and stress relief. then two longer bike rides on weekends for adventure and a bigger fitness challenge. Or do like me, ride when the sun is shining and when the weather gets bleary, take a walk. The point is, you are moving your body, you are staying active and you are investing in your health. Whether you are putting one foot in front of the other or spinning those pedals, you are doing something great for yourself.
The Good to Know Corner.
If you have been walking for a long time, you probably have opinions about shoes, right? Maybe you're a Brooks person or you swear by your Asics like me. Bikes are similar. There is no one perfect bike, but there's probably a perfect bike for you. For me, it happened almost so that the bike chose me. There was no going back after the first test ride. Gravel bikes are basically like the Swiss Army knife of the cycling world. They have wider tires for stability and comfort and for uneven surfaces, more upright riding position than road bikes. They have multiple gears for tackling hills and forest paths with protruding roots, mounting points for water bottles, bags and accessories, and durability for rough surfaces.
Yes!
Buying a bike online is like buying shoes online. It might work out, especially if you know exactly what you want, but then again, probably not. You need to get properly fitted. A good bike shop will measure your inseam, torso and arm length, let you test ride different sizes, adjust the seat height and handlebar position, and make sure you can comfortably reach the brakes and shifters. Don't hesitate to tell them you are new to cycling and in your 50s. A good shop will assist you in finding something comfortable and confidence boosting. The price of a new gravel bike ranges from about 800 euros to as high as you want to go. For your first bike, you don't have to go all the way. A good mid-level bicycle from a reputable brand will serve you well. You don't need all the bells and whistles, but some upgrades will elevate and improve your experience. In addition to a bike, you will also need a helmet, lights, and some basic accessories like a water bottle. Even though helmet hair is real for those who still have hair, your brain is the only one you've got. Unlike your knees, you can't replace it. Modern helmets are lightweight, well-ventilated, and honestly, especially at our age, safety always looks good on you. To be seen and to be visible, you will need front and rear lights even for daytime riding, and bright clothing and reflective accessories. I have found that a small mirror is a huge help in being more aware of the traffic behind me. Padded biking shorts add comfort for longer rides. Biking gloves not only help with hand numbness, but also in case of a fall, they will protect you from asphalt trash. Biking is also a great excuse to wear awesome-looking sunglasses for eye protection. Also, a pump might be a good idea to keep you going in case of a flat tire. Gravel bike tires are not that easy to repair on the road, but I have managed to bike some 5 kilometers home, just stopping every half a kilometer to pump a bit more air. All right, now you have got your bike, you're geared up, and you are ready to roll. But where do you start? This is where your walking experience really gives you a huge advantage. You already know your local area, your fitness level, and your limits. So first ride, the parking lot test. Before you head out on the roads, spend some time in a large empty parking lot. Practice starting and stopping smoothly, shifting gears, turning and balancing at slow speeds, and using the brakes. This might feel silly, but the gravel bike probably behaves differently from your earlier ride, so it's better to get a good feel of it somewhere safe. The next few rides take the familiar routes. Start with those you know from walking, but do them on a bike. That 5 kilometer walking loop, perfect for your first rear ride. You know the hills, the traffic patterns, and where the good cafeterias are. For your early rides, plan for 5 to 10 kilometers maximum. Choose quiet roads or bike paths. Avoid busy traffic until you are more confident. And for all my rides, I plan my route in advance. I tell someone where I'm going and take water and a snack with me. After those first rides, like with any exercise, build distance gradually. Couple first weeks up to 10 kilometers, focus on comfort and confidence. The next 2 weeks up to 15 kilometers, add some gentle hills. And then weeks 5 to 8, so second month up to 25 kilometers, explore new routes. And then from the third month on, 30 kilometers and over, take longer adventures. And remember, this isn't a race. Some people will progress faster, others will progress more slowly. Listen to your body.
Yes!
Bikes have gears, and if you have only been walking, bike gears might seem more complicated than your walking gears. They are really not. Gears are like the incline settings on a treadmill. They make things easier or harder. So lower gears are easier to pedal, slower speeds for hills and starting from stops, and higher gears are harder to pedal, higher speeds for flat ground and downhills. The basic idea is to shift before you need it, especially don't shift during a steep climb. It's better to spin your legs fast in an easy gear than grind in a hard one. Most gravel bikes have one-by or two-by drivetrains, and your bike shop will explain your specific setup. Bikes need some basic maintenance, but it's not as scary as it sounds. Think of it like maintaining your walking gear. You replace worn shoes, you clean your clothes, and you might adjust your walking poles. Basic bike maintenance includes keeping tires properly inflated, keeping the chain clean and lubricated, but not too lubricated, and checking brakes regularly. I also take my bike annually for a tune-up at the bike shop. It's a small cost for the longevity of the bike. As a walker, you probably already know the importance of staying hydrated and fueled. Cycling is similar, but with a few key differences. You will sweat more on a bike than walking, because you are working harder. But you might not notice it as much because of the air moving past you and swiping your sweat away. Carry more water than you think you need, especially in hot weather. A little electrolyte boost might also be helpful in hot conditions. For rides under an hour, you probably don't need extra fuel. But as your rides get longer, eat something light a couple hours before riding. And for riders over 90 minutes, bring a snack, something easily digestible, carbs, and some protein, like a protein bar. And don't try new foods on long rides. And just like after a long walk, after a ride, you will want to rehydrate, eat something within an hour, stretch your legs, hips, and back, and pay attention to how you feel for the next time. And there are some challenges also, of course. Transitioning from walking to cycling isn't always smooth.
1.
Balance and confidence. If it's been years or decades since you rode a bike, it might feel wobbly at first. This is completely normal. Practice in safe spaces, start slowly, and remember, confidence builds with experience.
2.
Saddle discomfort, so-called bike seat pain. It is probably the number one complaint from new cyclists. The good news, it usually improves as you adapt. Make sure your bike is properly fitted, the seat is on the right position, consider padded shorts, and gradually increase your ride time.
3.
Many new cyclists feel nervous around cars, at least I do still, especially around big ones. Start on quiet roads, bike paths, or rail trails. As your confidence builds, you can gradually work up to busier roads if you choose to.
4.
Hills on a bike are different from hills on foot. Use your gears, don't be afraid to go slowly, and remember, what goes up must come down, and that part is going to be fun. For some people, one of the best parts about being a walker can be the community, walking groups or hiking clubs. The cycling community can be equally welcoming. So look for local cycling clubs with beginners-friendly rides, bike shop group rides, rail trail associations, or online communities. And don't be intimidated by the Lycra crowd. Many cycling groups have no-drop policies, meaning that they will wait for everyone and specifically welcome new riders. I have had some links to the resources in the show notes. Starting something new in your 50s takes courage. It would be easier to stick with what you know, to keep walking the same routes, not to risk looking silly or feeling uncertain. You've already proven you can commit to fitness through walking. You have already shown you value your health and well-being. Adding cycling to your routine isn't starting from scratch. It's expanding your possibilities. Maybe your first ride will be wobbly. Perhaps you'll discover muscles you forgot you had. Maybe you will fall in love with the feeling of rolling through your neighborhood at dawn, seeing the world from a new perspective.
Weekly challenge.
Visit a bike shop nearby and book a test ride. You might fall for it. Or maybe you'll discover that cycling isn't for you, and that's okay too. But at least you will know. Remember, the best workout is the one you'll actually do, and the best adventure is the next one you will actually take. And what I like to say, don't do nothing, do something and scale it back. This was Scaled to Fit, Fit in Your 50s with Marco Lindgren. All sounds are made by me. Send us your feedback via email at feedback@scaletofit.fit or visit podchaser.com/scaletofit to leave a rating. Don't forget to check the show notes at scaletofit. All the links are there. Thank you for tuning in.